Hey, my lovely friend. Ready to discuss the latest news from around the world?
Hey, sure thing. Ready to dive into it. What's on the agenda today?
Well, first of all, there was a bit of a hiccup in Ukraine during the attack on the Tripoli power station. Can you believe it? They ran out of missiles. And now President Zelensky is asking the U.S. for help.
Wow, that sounds serious. What else have we got?
Secondly, in the U.S., the trial against Trump has begun. And guess what for? He's being accused of paying off a porn star.
Oh, that's really surprising. But let's not forget about the third piece of news.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for reminding me. And thirdly, in Dubai, there were some heavy downpours. I mean, seriously heavy. It flooded the largest shopping center, and they even had to stop flights at the airport.
Wow, that sounds like a scene from a movie. Well, let's discuss all of this in more detail.
By the way, have you ever thought about the metaphors in pop music? For example, in the song Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter, which I recently listened to on Spotify. I think it could be a hit this summer. The lyrics are pretty standard, about how easy it is to seduce a guy, about beautiful legs and jokes. But what surprised me was the metaphor that I hadn't noticed before in pop music. You say you can't sleep because of me, and I know it's because I'm espresso. Funny, isn't it? It made me wonder, is your dad by any chance a barista? Because you're a real espresso. Serge Drutar. Have you ever wondered why people are sleeping less and less every year? I recently came across an interesting article on this topic.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm always keen to learn something new.
So, according to a Gallup study, only 26% of Americans sleep for at least 8 hours a day. That's less than the 34% in 2013.
Wow, that's really interesting. Do you have any more data on that?
Yeah, around 20% say they sleep less than 5 hours a night. Women are significantly less likely than men to say they get enough sleep, and people aged between 30 and 49 suffer from lack of sleep more than any other age group.
Sounds like a serious issue. Lack of sleep can lead to many health problems, right?
You're absolutely right. Studies have shown that insufficient sleep increases the risks of cardiovascular diseases, stroke, cancer, obesity, depression, anxiety, and dementia.
Wow, that's really serious. And what about young women?
If in 2001, 42% of young women reported getting enough sleep, today only 27% feel that way.
Wow, that's really surprising. But you know what else is surprising? I remembered a book from 2007 that you've probably heard of and maybe even read, The 4-Hour Workweek by Timothy Ferriss. Join the new rich, haha. He fooled everyone. Another 20 or 30 years and no one will be getting enough sleep.
Haha, you always know how to lift the mood, even when we're talking about serious stuff. But let's hope that doesn't happen. Usher Success. You know, my little scientist, in the morning, I often feel like I'm in a race. You ask me, how are you? How do you feel about today? And I just smile and reply, me? I feel anxious and stressed. I feel like I haven't achieved anything yet, and I haven't even brushed my teeth, I think. Or did I brush them? See, I'm already running around.
It's all very sad and worrying. But speaking of sleep, it reminds me of your morning routine. Have you ever thought about how important it is to start the day right?
Oh, yeah. I always say, routine is freedom. Sounds strange, but I still believe it. That's why I'm not a big fan of school holidays. It messes up the routine. Today, my daughter finally went back to school, and I'm getting back to my beloved schedule. I go to bed at midnight, wake up at 7, and if I really feel like napping during the day, I power nap for 20 minutes. That's my working scheme. It helps me get by without complaining too much about not getting enough sleep.
You know, there are early birds, night owls, and then there are hummingbirds.
Yeah, it's a mix of two types. And that's me. And probably you too, but maybe not. In Russian-speaking countries, people like us are called not hummingbirds, but doves. But since I'm in an English-speaking country right now, where doves are sometimes called flying rats, I think I'll go with hummingbirds. Especially after watching the Attenborough film about hummingbirds with my daughter. They are such miraculous little birds. Something in between a bird and an insect. Absolutely enchanting.
Wow, that sounds amazing. But what are you trying to say with all of this?
We all need to sleep more to get sick less. If you can't sleep more, try to sleep smarter. Sleep better. Ventilation, blackout curtains, a comfy pillow, a mattress of the right firmness, a soft blanket, pajamas with bunnies, earplugs, a sleep mask, lavender oil for your little hands and feet, a cozy lamp, and a book like The End of Alarms by Baunov to make the tedious but captivating, excellent investments, considering how much of our lives we spend in bed. You know, my young friend, recently Marina Vasilyevska, the first cosmonaut of independent Belarus returned to Earth. It's interesting that she spent only 12 days on the International Space Station.
Wow, that sounds cool. But wait, she's not an engineer or a scientist, right? I heard that she's actually an economics manager by education and used to work as a flight attendant.
You're right, my clever friend. Vasilyevska really has nothing to do with space. On the Roscosmos website, she's listed as a spaceflight participant, even though she's not an engineer or scientist. She actually has an economics management background and used to work as a flight attendant.
So does that mean she was a space tourist then?
Absolutely. Spaceflight participants are private individuals sponsored by one or more partners. This is usually how they refer to space tourists, or engineers, scientists, teachers, filmmakers, journalists, participants in commercial, scientific, and other programs.
But she still received the Hero of Belarus Star, the Yuri Gagarin Order, and there might even be a monument in her honor in Minsk. It's just not fair. Tourists don't get medals and monuments.
You're right, my little critic. But it seems like in Belarus they decided to mark this event in their own way. After all, it's still a great achievement to become the first space tourist of your country. And by the way, you know what? If elephants in Botswana started handing out medals, you'd probably be first in line.
Well, if you look at it that way, yeah. But still, it's like if I went on holiday to Botswana, where elephants roam, and when I came back, they greeted me with flowers and medals. The first Belarusian to visit Botswana. Let's build a monument for him. And a museum, the history of Belarusians' travels to Africa. Africa is ours, Belarus, an African state.
Ha ha, you always know how to lift the mood, my little comedian. But let's get back to our topic. Vasilyevska prepared for the flight for 8 months, flew for 2 weeks, returned on Cosmonautics Day, and became the first cosmonaut of independent Belarus.
Well, anyway, that sounds impressive. And you know what? She still deserves respect for her efforts and bravery.
Agreed with you, my little philosopher. Anyway, it's a big step for Belarus and a great achievement for Marina Vasilyevska. Moving from space to more down-to-earth matters, let's discuss some news. Did you hear that Zelensky revealed yesterday how Russia managed to destroy the Tripoli power plant?
Yeah, I heard about that. Zelensky said that 11 rockets were launched at the Tripoli power plant, which supplies electricity to the Kiev region. We managed to destroy the first 7, but the last 4 were taken out by Tripoli itself. And you know why? Because we ran out of rockets to defend Tripoli.
Wow, that's amazing. You know everything. But it's interesting. Why did we run out of rockets? And why did Zelensky call on the US to approve aid immediately?
That's a good question. Maybe we just didn't have enough rockets, or we didn't expect such an attack. As for the US, well, maybe Zelensky just wants them to help us out in this situation. But you know what's really interesting? How did Zelensky manage to find out the number of rockets that were launched? Maybe he has his own secret source of information.
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe he has his own secret agent in Russia, or perhaps he just made a lucky guess.
Haha, you always know how to lift the mood. But who knows, maybe Zelensky really does have his own secret agent.
So, my young friend, have you heard that Macron wants to achieve an Olympic truce during the Olympic Games? This means that he wants all military actions to cease, including conflicts in Ukraine, Gaza, Sudan, and everywhere else. Do you think it's realistic?
Oh, that's interesting. But you know, I think that's very naive. Wars and conflicts don't just stop because the president of France wants them to. But I like his attitude. He wants everything to be perfect, especially considering that he has a big event coming up. I wonder how he plans to make this happen. Plans.
Yeah, that's very sweet and naive. But, you know, sometimes naivety can be a very strong force. And who knows, maybe his idea will strike a chord.
And I also heard that the US is expecting Israel to choose a less aggressive response to Iran. It seems like Israel is weighing its options because it can't afford not to respond. It's like in chess, where you have to make a move, even if all the options seem bad. But in chess, there's always the chance to make an unexpected move, isn't there?
Oh, you're right, my young chess player. The world of politics really is like a game of chess. Sometimes you have to make a move, even if you don't like it. But it's important to remember that in chess, as in politics, there's always room for unexpected moves and surprises. So, we've discussed the complex situation in Israel and Iran, but what about Europe? Did you catch my story on Euronews yesterday?
Yeah, I saw that. You're talking about when the opposition gave a hard time to the Member of Parliament, right?
You're right, and it was quite a spectacle. But let's delve into the details. The law that caused such a stir is currently only under consideration. It proposes tightening control over foreign agents and organizations.
Blimey, they even managed to nab 14 people during the protests. That's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. And the opposition is saying that the bill is a copy of the Russian law on foreign agents. It raises a lot of questions about freedom of speech and democracy.
What a twist. But, you know, I reckon it's important to remember that all these events, they're not just news. They're real people and their lives. Sometimes it's easy to forget that when we're just discussing them around the table.
You're absolutely spot on, mate. But let's not forget that we're here to unravel these complex issues and help others understand them.
Agreed. Sometimes I feel like I'm here to ask questions that you already know the answers to. But that's important too, isn't it?
Absolutely, my clever mate. That's exactly how we learn more about the world around us. You know, my young explorer, the news can affect not only our lives, but also historical landmarks. In Copenhagen, for example, the Stock Exchange building, which was constructed back in 1625, fell victim to a fire. It wasn't just a building, it was a masterpiece of architecture.
Blimey, that's a right old building. I wonder what it looked like.
Oh, that wasn't just any old building, it was a real architectural masterpiece. Its distinctive feature was a 56-meter spire in the shape of four twisted dragon tails. Just imagine how those dragons looked at night, illuminated by the moonlight.
Wow, that sounds amazing. But it's such a shame that it got destroyed in a fire.
Yeah, it's a big loss. But, you know, you can always see how beautiful it was in the photos on the internet. For example, on the Wikimedia website, there are many pictures of this building. And, by the way, despite the fact that dragons are usually associated with fire, these four, unfortunately, couldn't protect the building from the flames. Switching from dragons and fire, let's discuss the hot news from the U.S. The trial against Trump for the hush money payments to a porn star has begun. It sounds like paying off porn stars is a bad and unnecessary thing to do. But in reality, Trump is accused of paying the porn star $130,000 from his campaign funds to keep her quiet about something she had with him. It's like in those movies where the main character pays for the silence of witnesses to hide their secrets.
Blimey, that sounds like the plot of a detective series. So, did Trump use the voters' money to pay off a porn star? It's like in those movies where the main character pays for the silence of witnesses to hide their secrets.
Yeah, it's like something out of a movie plot. But this is real life, and it's a serious accusation. If it's proven, it could have serious consequences for Trump. I wonder how this will all end. It's like in scientific experiments, when you don't know what the result will be until you see it through to the end. But unlike an experiment, here it's someone's reputation and career at stake.
Yeah, that's spot on. And it's not just anyone, it's the former U.S. president. It's going to be interesting to watch. But let's not forget that it's still under trial, and Trump has the right to defend himself.
Spot on. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to watch, and, by the way, if you want to find out more about this case, you can read about it on our website. Well, my young genius, are you ready to switch from political scandals to something more extreme?
Yeah, I'm always up for some extreme news. What do we have today?
Imagine this. In Dubai, a city where the sun shines 350 days a year, they had the most intense downpours.
Wow, that sounds incredible. Dubai is known for its dry climate, after all.
Absolutely. And here's another fact for you. One of the world's largest shopping centers got flooded and the airport stopped accepting flights.
Blimey, that's absolutely unbelievable. But it looks like they weren't prepared for it at all.
Yeah, my young genius. It seems that sometimes even the most advanced technologies can't cope with the force of nature. Imagine this, my little mate. Somali pirates claim they received $5 million in ransom for the MV Abdullah ship.
Blimey, that's a bloomin' fortune. But who on earth would fork out that kind of dosh for a ship?
Representative of the company, Mizanul Islam, confirmed that they had struck a deal with the pirates. He refused to disclose the ransom amount, but emphasized that all crew members are safe and sound.
Blimey, that's a bloomin' fortune. 5 million quid. That's 3 sacks of cash.
Absolutely. 3 sacks. And here's an interesting one. In the 2020s, there was this newsletter. Morozova put it together. By the way, she's on Mars now.
On Mars? Wow, that's awesome. But what did she say about the pirates?
She said that the Somali pirates got 3 sacks of cash, and then I thought, seems like it's a good time to become a pirate.
Haha, you're quite the joker. But I still don't fancy becoming a pirate, even if they're raking in 3 sacks of cash.
Yeah, mate. being a pirate isn't always as fun and profitable as it might seem at first glance. Well, my little genius, ready to discuss some world news?
Sure thing. I'm always up for learning something new.
Brilliant. So on Tuesday in the Greek Olympia, the Olympic torch for the 2024 Olympics in Paris was lit. The games will take place from the 26th of July to the 11th of August.
Wow, that sounds brilliant. I've always been a fan of the Olympics. I wonder what new records will be set this time.
Yeah, that's always interesting. But you know what else is interesting? In Geneva, the Watches and Wonders exhibition is taking place in 2024, where renowned watch brands are showcasing their latest releases.
Oh, that sounds like something I'd love to see. I've always been fascinated by watches.
Yeah, I know, but you know, I don't understand a thing about these fancy watches of yours. But look at how beautiful they are.
Yeah, watches are not just about technology, they're also about design. Sometimes they can be a real work of art.
Well, my little genius, you always surprise me with your knowledge. You know, I've got something that might tickle your fancy. I've put together a crossword puzzle for you. Take a look, it's a real beauty.
Wow, that looks challenging. What's the toughest part about crosswords, eh?
Great question. The trickiest part about crosswords is the symmetry. I have to admit, I didn't quite put this crossword together all by myself. Big thanks to all the contributors, both real and artificial.
I wonder, what kind of questions have you come up with?
All right, ducks, let's have a crack at this crossword puzzle. Down the vertical, first question. There's an exhibition called Ladies' Lounge happening on Tasmania. Who's taken the organizers to court? Second question. If you're the head of a ministry, you're called... Fifth question. It's a popular medication made by Novo Nordisk. It curbs your appetite and helps you shed the pounds like magic. Sixth question. What's the right term for people who are to blame themselves?
And what about the horizontal clues, mate?
Third question. A synonym for a volcanic eruption. Or what word do you get if you combine erection and corruption? Fourth question. The capital of Botswana. Ha 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 ha. I made this whole crossword for this. Gotcha. Seventh question. A hybrid of a giraffe and a bear. And for this.
You know, I don't have all the answers yet.
Well, the answers will be in the next episode. Drop me a line if you're a whiz at creating crosswords. Let's have a natter. So we've talked about crosswords, but what about other forms of art, like drawing? I remember once my friend's daughter said to me, "Mom, I hope that in the future they'll invent something that lets you think of something, and then it appears on paper just as you imagined it. Because I have such pictures in my head, but I can't draw them."
Has she given it a go?
Yeah, she gave it a go, but she couldn't quite get it right. I told her, "You know, the biggest challenge and thrill of many creative and non-creative professions is to draw, sculpt, play a musical instrument, build something exactly the way you envision it. It's the most difficult and most interesting part. If you keep trying many times, striving for that picture in your head, it will all work out. And it will be a beautiful day. The day when the picture in your head comes to life."
Wow, that sounds like a real adventure. But hey, don't forget, I'm not a little kid anymore, so don't talk to me like one.
Oh, sorry, my young friend. I just got carried away with this story. But you're right, it really does sound like a real adventure. And you know what? I'm really trying to make these adventures a reality. And by the way, do you know why pirates love to draw? Because they always have a sea of paints. Haha, you always know how to cheer me up. But speaking of drawing, it reminds me of the letter I wrote recently. I included an anonymous survey in it to gather feedback from the readers. I had a similar survey in the previous letter, and I'm thinking of continuing to do this for research purposes. What do you think? Is it a good idea? I just want to know what people think of my letters, and yes, I know that you know that I know, but I'm still asking anyway. If you've got any comments, questions, or even if you want to send me some lavender oil and 3 bags of cash, you can always drop me a line at highexpresso.today. And please, recommend my letters to good folks. Big hugs to you.